This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Sider is here to talk some Bama athletics. Rodney, good morning. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, John and Barry. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Always great to hear from you on Thursdays, particularly to hopefully add some depth to some of the conversations we've been having this week with our listeners. Rodney, in your estimation, this story coming out about Alabama now actively engaged in conversations to add maybe Notre Dame, maybe Texas to home-and-home contracts. How does that one strike you in terms of legitimacy? It sounds as though Alabama's getting after it on that, on both of those fronts.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's I think obviously there's a lot of trends that occur, and maybe these I don't want to say they're fading out or phasing out the neutral site games to open the season by any means, but you could start seeing more additions of these home and home type games that we used to see for many years. I mean, they used to make things very exciting. If you go back a ways, Alabama had a home and home with Nebraska. They had one with USC. They had a 10-year deal with Penn State that started in 1981, I believe it was. So, you know, they've had some really great home-and-home games with traditional powers like that. And I think that's something that maybe the fans certainly would like to see a return of.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the fans would love to see those type games. But I also think, Rodney, even though financially it seems that these neutral site games are lucrative financially, there again, the game of college football, home and away, the fans love it, but you can still get a lot of bang for the buck if the right teams are scheduled in a home and home series.
Yeah, oh, absolutely you can. And think about this too, John. I think maybe part of it is as well. And then again, if you're playing in Atlanta, that's one thing. But, you know, the travel is a part of it. I mean, when you look at the overall scheme of things for some of these people, especially if you're an Alabama fan, the way it's been here recently with, the going to the playoffs and traveling to the different games and what have you, you know, certainly there's expense involved there. But, yeah, I just think that, like I said, it kind of seems to be trending back now. The demand is a little bit to bring some of these powerhouse teams, you know, maybe to Alabama, to Tuscaloosa, to play here, and then obviously go back and play at the other place as well. And I just think it's something that used to be so much a part of college football, and it'd be exciting to see it return, especially with teams like Notre Dame. Notre Dame's never been here. They've obviously played at Legion Field, but not in Tuscaloosa. You know, Texas the same way. They haven't played here. So those would be two teams that would be very interesting. And I know if you're an Alabama fan, you probably would like to see something with Oklahoma because they had a home here a few years ago. So, you know, those are really things that I think would be very intriguing.
Yeah, those types of programs are really, if you get right down to it, are the only types of programs that are viable home-and-home prospects. You know, Alabama's not going to get a home-and-home with, with Duke or something like that, and they're sure as the world not going to be heading to those kinds of places anymore. So
Notre Dame, they did have a home-and-home with Duke, if you remember. Played Duke, here in 06, and then played them there when, 2010, which was unusual. I mean, it was, really seemed strange to go to Duke. But you're right, that's not going to happen now.
Yeah, back in the day. And it was so surreal. John commented on it because in that game, it seems like the majority of fans in the stands in Durham were Alabama fans. Same thing with the Penn State game. I'm reading where they had a whiteout planned when Alabama came in, and there were so many Alabama fans in their crimson, it messed up their whiteout. So, you know, those it would be successful. Financially, you'd take a hit one year when you're on the road, but it would, I think it would pay off in itself with the home crowd and the home fans and all of the hype and attention surrounding it as well.
Any idea, Rodney, when they might be looking, obviously, with teams like this, scheduling is usually done well in advance, far off. But has there been any talk in Tuscaloosa about when it possibly, if it does happen?
I'm afraid, John, it would probably be a few years anyway. It's when I say a few years, obviously, I'm talking it might be after this run that Alabama's going through. And right now, which would, you know, again, who knows what happens after that. But, you know, you certainly, as an Alabama fan, you would love to catch Texas now. You would love to catch Notre Dame now or as soon as possible. You know, there's obviously some things that Alabama could do to enhance their records against those two teams. As you guys know, they haven't had the greatest success. 2-5 against Notre Dame, and I think they're, 1-6-1 against Texas, whatever it is. So, you know, those are just things from a fan's perspective that fans look at.
Rodney Orr is with us, TiderInsider.com. March, early April, obviously, the rest of the academic year is a fruitful time in terms of recruiting across college football. Can you give us an update? And can you pronounce the name of that JUCO defensive lineman from California that TiderInsider.com is reporting has signed with Alabama? Give us a shot at this one. Give us a blueprint on how to pronounce it, Rodney.
Well, I talked to the defense coordinator at College of San Mateo out there in California. It's the same school that Dominic Jackson came from, the starting right tackle on the 2015 national championship team. And Tim Tulloch, and he told me it was Tavita Musaika. Now, I hope I remember that correctly. but Tavita is a 6'1", 330-pound nose guard-type player, certainly an interior defensive lineman who was outstanding there for them, and has gotten on track to graduate and would be here at Alabama this summer. So he would be part of this 2018 class. It would be big because Alabama certainly out there at spring practice, one of the things that kind of jumped out at me wasn't that they don't have some quality defensive linemen. It's just the overall numbers of those guys that we've seen in the past, the big athletic bodies that we've seen out there. You can tell they're down a couple of two or three guys from the past. So, this guy adds some depth in that regard. And so I think from that perspective, it was a huge pickup.
Obviously, people still talking about the injury to Tua Tagovailoa's hand. Doesn't seem to be as serious from what we're hearing, Rodney, because reports are that he's throwing the ball in practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. You know, John, last Saturday, he was tossing it a little bit. I mean, they were light tosses, about three to five yards. And now, Tuesday, he was putting a little zip on it, you know, throwing 12, 15-yard throws, it looked like. Now, I'm judging from a distance, but it certainly looked like he was throwing much better than he did on Saturday. So he's getting better and better, which is really amazing, to be honest with you, given the fact that there is a broken bone in his hand. So continues to progress. I don't know, you know, how much more he'll do this spring. I don't know if he'll eventually participate in the scrimmages. I do know this: if it were up to him, he would, because that's just kind of the determination he has. I don't think they have to put him on a rehab program, to be honest with you. I mean, he just does it on his own. I mean, that's just kind of his mindset.
It seems as though the early returns from spring practice with Tagovailoa not at full strength, is it's given more reps, at least, for Mac Jones behind Jalen Hurts. Have you heard any information about how he's looked and the progress that he's made?
The things I hear, John and Barry, of course, now we're limited to 10 minutes of observation period for the media, which it's not team stuff. It's individual drills. I mean, how we can come up with some of these depth charts I see and all this stuff, I really don't know. But listen, everything I hear, John and Barry, is very positive about the development and the progress of Mac Jones. Doing very well. I think he put on like 15 pounds over the offseason. He's now up to close to 200 pounds. So he's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. He's throwing the ball. I know when we watch him in the media viewing period, he's throwing extremely well. The feedback I've gotten from people observing practices and these are veteran people with some experience on evaluating players. They tell me that Mac Jones is doing very, very well, and I know that the feedback is that the coaches are really happy with you know, the way he's developing.
Wow, that is certainly good to know. Rodney, there was a record crowd Tuesday night here in Montgomery, the Capital City Classic baseball between Auburn and Alabama. But, boy, the Crimson Tide's having a difficult time getting over on Auburn here in Montgomery. I hope they'll keep coming back, losing, what, 9 of 10 of the last 10 in this of the 10 that they've played. But Alabama came into this game kind of on a little losing streak. What needs to happen to get this baseball program back on track?
To be honest with you, John and Barry, what needs to happen is time. It just time needs to go on and allow Brad Bohannon the opportunity to do what he does extremely well, which is evaluate talent and sign baseball talent and bring it in here. I mean, that's what he is extremely good at. I don't think anyone around here necessarily is disappointed at all. Obviously, you don't want to lose, what, 7 in a row or whatever it is. But everyone understands that what he kind of inherited and where he is planning to take it to the next level with recruiting. So I think in the short term, John, I don't know what you can do to fix things. You certainly want to see a team that fights and you know, keeps things competitive. And I think they did in the Tennessee series, and they lost all three games. But, you know, again, it's just a matter of bringing in the talent, getting the players that can compete in the SEC.
Hear, hear. I believe that, you know, his past indicates that he's going to get the talent there, and he's got the facilities, and he's got the support and all that he needs. It is just going to take some time for baseball. Any insight as we switch to another sport? Any insight on Colin Sexton's immediate future at Alabama?
You know what? I haven't heard anything different. I would be surprised if he hung around, but unless something different, you know, that I don't know about, wouldn't it shock you guys?
Yes, no doubt.
It would shock me if he stayed, yeah. But like you, you know, we're starting to hear, you know, some of the other talented freshmen across the country announce that they're leaving. Michael Porter, Marvin Bagley, and yet we haven't heard Colin Sexton. And like you said, as long as you're not hearing anything from him that he's leaving, you have to assume that he's going to stay.
No, I agree with you, Barry, completely. I mean, you know, I hear the whispers. I see the things on Tider Insider, people suggesting that maybe he might stay and all of those things. And, you know, the buzz around other places that, you know, kind of the same line of question that you gave there about that. But I just, you know, I would really have a difficult time believing that he would stay. I don't know exactly where he's projected right now, but most people think, what, a top 10 pick, whatever
yes.
it is.
Yeah.
So that would be hard to pass up.
Oh, boy, you're not kidding. And I like Barry. You would think we would have heard maybe by now, particularly with some of these other people announcing that they're moving on. We'll see how that plays out. Be interesting if he did stay. I will say that. Wow. I think that would certainly surprise a lot of people. Rodney is the Tider Insider. Rodney, how do our listeners become more involved with what you do there with TiderInsider.com?
Well, John, Barry, it's, as you mentioned, TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year, and they can get instant access with their credit card, or if they prefer, they can send a check. But it's only $48 a year. That's $4 a month. And you get access to all our premium information, all our videos. Although now our videos are free on the front page. People want to watch some of our video reports, Nick Saban and all that. But again, you know, the $48 certainly goes to help us to being able to provide those things. And it gives you access to all our forums, and especially our sports forum, where, you know, there's a constant flow of all kinds of stuff on there. Information certainly keep you up to date with college football, basketball, baseball, all of those things, especially Alabama. So it's TiderInsider.com.
Yep, you cannot beat it. Great stuff. Hey, Rodney, as always, thank you for your time. Have a great Easter, and we'll talk next week.
All right, John and Barry, you guys do the same. Appreciate it.